righty. Well, quite the start to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us. I guess Roman Reigns was on vacation, so we gave him the day off, and we said, here, OTC, the original tribal chief, put your ones in the air and take the day off. Good afternoon. What is up on a Wednesday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond? Right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is 4th of July week, and man, does it feel like it. It feels like it. Between the heat and the soul-sucking humidity for the last week and a half. Actually, it's a little bit better out there today. And it's supposed to get actually a bit better over the next couple of days. That is great. That is good news. But it just feels like everything is at kind of a standstill. Unless you're Puff Daddy. Then that's a little bit different. Or wait, was it P. Diddy? Puff Daddy? What's his name? P. Diddy? Diddy? Is that it? I don't even know.
Diddy's fine, yeah.
Diddy? It's not Puff Daddy.
I mean, it used to be.
It used to be, okay.
Yeah, he's went through like five different names.
Yeah, shocker. I mean, Lil Puff Daddy?
Relax.
I mean, you know, I guess it's a good day for him. I don't know. I don't really do that, but none of that. Let me be clear. I guess it's a good day for him. That's nice to see that, you know, the richest of the rich are well taken care of in America. That's the most important, right? I mean, that's what this world. I figured out after 51 years of living what makes the world go round. Surprise! The more money you have, the better off your chances are of thriving. I was reminded of that yesterday on the way home when I heard the news of something else that I can't talk about. I was reminded of that just before the show. When I read some of the headlines of Puff Daddy getting away with, you know, some gross, heinous things that he was accused and stood trial for. But anyway, we're not here necessarily to talk about that. We are here to talk about, well, a lot of the things going on in the sports world. And quite honestly, that's kind of where I'm talking about. We've kind of hit the skids here, right? There is no major bombshell, earth-shattering story, I guess, with the exception of, and I never, ever, 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 ever thought I would lead my show. I would lead my show with this. Malik Beasley? Huh? What? Right? So, I woke up this morning, I don't know, 5 in the morning. I drink a ton, and I'm old, and I get, like, these weird cramps in my feet and my legs, probably because I have not taken good enough care of myself. And I check my phone, and I see Twitter, and I see the Detroit News, and this guy Robert Snell pops up. And I'm like, what is this? And then it says, scoop, ex-Pistons player Malik Beasley's money problems ran so deep, he pledged his current and future NBA contracts as collateral in one deal. And on top of that, stiffed his dentist. That dentist, the story headline says, started seizing part of Beasley's NBA paychecks in February.
This is not real.
This is absolutely real. You haven't seen the story yet?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know it was this deep.
Yes. Yes. I read it this morning, and I was, you know. And now I'm having trouble accessing it because I guess I've read it too many times. So basically, in a nutshell, the story is absurd, right? From the standpoint of Malik Beasley, again, is a guy that was about to sign a, well, he was offered a 3-year, $42 million new contract by the Pistons last week. And now all of a sudden, he's facing federal charges. Why? Why is he facing federal charges? Well, Malik Beasley, again, not a name that many people know or care about. I mean, I'm sure the youngest in BS, Linnell Willingham, would tell you how great he is, how important he is, and how damned if you don't know who Malik Beasley is and his importance and whatever. And I mean, obviously, I know the name, and I knew he was on the Detroit Pistons, or at least I thought he was on the Detroit Pistons. But I can't tell you that I'm like super duper uber familiar with his plight in life. Okay, I'm not, and nor do I feel bad about that. But over the weekend, we found out, we mentioned this earlier this week, I think on Monday, that Malik Beasley was facing some very, very, very alarming, eye-opening, difficult charges, FBI, gambling, fixing, you know, prop bets and all sorts of stuff. Well, now we found out part of the, at least the impetus for that, is all of the financial problems and issues that he supposedly and reportedly has. Upwards of $8 million worth of financial problems, according to the Detroit News, which includes being sued twice by his Detroit landlord. Twice by his Detroit landlord. And, again, having part of his Pistons paycheck seized, according to public records, by a dentist. That's right. That's right. Malik Beasley, welcome to America. Oh, then there's the debt owed to a celebrity barber and a lender and a marketing firm. And then there's more. So just I wanted to start the show off this way because we're going to get into financials and money here in the first hour. And you guys can respond to all this if you want. Go right ahead. I'm not going to, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to care about this or be amused by this or just stunned by this like I am. Amused might be the wrong word, but I take a lot of, as you know, we do Dumb Dumb of the Day, and we often look at it as a celebration of how idiotic our society is, right? And the world that we have to live in. There is no celebration here, let me be clear. This is a man, a young man, very talented, obviously, who has made so many terrible choices and so many bad deals that he is literally about to go to prison if these charges hold up on gambling and fixing games and player props and all that stuff. If they hold up, if they hold up. And even if they don't hold up, he's got just enormous issues. Enormous issues. So much so that, again, last week he was apparently offered a 3-year, $42 million deal by the team that allegedly knew that his paycheck was being, what do you call that? When your paycheck is being skimmed off of, you know, because of you didn't pay your child support, which makes you a bad baby daddy and a lousy individual.
Stipend? I don't know.
Yes. Siphoned?
Not stipend, siphoned.
Is it siphoned? I can't remember the word. But anyway, people know what I'm talking about, right? They were taking money out of his paycheck because, well, he wasn't paying his bills, right? So anyway, the story goes like this. Let me get into it real quickly here. Again, the Pistons have now pulled back on a 3-year, $42 million offer because of the FBI investigation, and we'll see where that goes. Last year, he signed a 1-year, $6 million deal with Detroit, and he was a really good piece. He was almost the sixth man of the year, 16.3 points, 41.6% shooting from three. He was one of only three players who finished the regular season with at least 300 three-point shots made, joining Anthony Edwards and Stephen Curry. I mean, that's a pretty good category, right? So his lawyer, his criminal defense lawyer, have said on the record to the Detroit News, listen, I've known Malik for a long time, but I don't deal with any of his financial management or mismanagement. or decisions he would make with money. His criminal defense lawyer says, I've been with the guy a long time. This is nothing new. I've been representing him for a while, but I don't get involved in his finances with the exception of taking his money. Right? So here's the story in a nutshell. And just listen to these charges or listen to these accusations or listen to these bad business deals. And you just realize how dumb people are and just how mind-numbing our society is. And I'm sorry, but that's just the only way I can put it. So Beasley was sued in April by a group named Hazen Sports Management Group Incorporated. They're a New York-based agency. They accused him of failing to repay $650,000 in cash that was given to him as an advance against future marketing revenue from his name, image, and likeness, according to a federal complaint. So, again, he was given $650,000 against future marketing revenue from NIL. Now, I don't know if that's NIL as in, like, when he was in college or, like, NIL in it meaning, like, he was going to get marketing deals as a pro and using his name, his image, whatever, and get that money and then pay back. I don't know. So the company says they made a, quote, substantial investment of time, effort, and resources in a player with known issues. And then they put in parentheses, including and especially financial issues. When they took him on as a client and provided him with a substantial marketing advance in anticipation of helping Beasley become one of the premier players at his position, according to the lawsuit. He then fired the firm in February, according to the lawsuit. It says, in the ensuing weeks following Beasley's termination, they made several attempts to collect the full amount of the marketing advance, again, that's $650,000, but received little more than dribs and drabs of sporadic payments and vague promises to repay the balance over time. Okay. So says their lawyer as part of this lawsuit, right? So now the company doesn't want just $650,000 back. They want at least $2.25 million for an alleged breach of contract, which presumably includes that $650,000. He was served this lawsuit while in New York with the Pistons at their team hotel playing the New York Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. He scored 9 points the day after the lawsuit was handed to him. He did not respond to the lawsuit, scored 9 points in a game that Detroit actually won. The lawsuit was filed in federal court, blah, 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 blah. The company, again, specializes in loaning money to professional athletes, and they won So here's the deal. So then the lawsuit was filed in federal court in New York more than 3 years after a company that specializes in loaning money to professional athletes won a nearly $5.8 million judgment against Beasley in Maryland. This company, called South River Capital LLC, has loaned more than $250 million to athletes in recent years. So the one company, Hazen, wants $2.25 million for breach of contract and the $650,000 that they paid him. 3 years ago, he lost, meaning Michael Beasley, a judgment of Malik Beasley won lost a judgment of $5.8 million against a company in Maryland that specializes in loaning athletes money. It was when he was playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Nobody knows exactly why he borrowed the money, but court records show part of the debt, $1.13 million, again, of the $5-plus million that he owed, was satisfied in early 2023. All right, so then, you know, just moving forward, right, his lawyer kind of defended, saying these companies are predatory and they charge outrageous fees and interest rates, blah, 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 blah. So almost a year ago, Beasley signed a deal with a Florida firm. He likes to move around, not only in his NBA career, but also in the firms that he tries to get money from. That's Maryland, New York, and now a Florida firm. So this is almost a year ago. Beasley signed a deal with a Florida firm that provides bridge loans to pro athletes. As collateral, Beasley pledged his current and future NBA contracts, according to a copy of the financing statement obtained by the Detroit News. Apparently, his most recent financial problems have been relatively small, according to the rest of this list. Ready for this? In Detroit's 36th District Court, Beasley was sued for failing to pay $14,150 in rent at a high-end, high-rise in a historic building in downtown Detroit, which was owned by the real estate arm of Dan Gilbert, who owns the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, by the way. The lawsuit was dismissed in late March because, supposedly, he paid. Supposedly. But last month, Beasley was sued again by the same company, the same building, for failing to pay another $7,355 in rent. And now a hearing is coming up on July 15th. In January, a celebrity barbershop with a long roster of NBA stars won a $26,827 judgment against Beasley. The barbershop operates in Milwaukee. Beasley played for the Milwaukee Bucks, amongst other teams, Minnesota, Detroit, what have you. And they had a falling out, even though he was promoted on the barber's Instagram feed, and it said he was playoff ready. Okay, so now he owes the barber money, right? $26,827 judgment, which is kind of crazy and you think about it, but whatever. In January, a Minnesota dentist won a $34,390 default judgment against Beasley, according to court records. The dentist of Delicate Smiles started garnishing Beasley's paychecks from the Pistons in February, according to court records. The debt has not been satisfied, according to the court. So let's just tally this up real quickly here. We've got a $34,390 debt to a dentist. We've got a $26,000 plus judgment, $26,827, to a celebrity barbershop. We have a current $7,355 debt in rent to a luxury high-rise building in Detroit. That was preceded by a $14,150 lawsuit filed for the same business, for the same building in which apparently he was living in downtown Detroit, while playing for the Pistons, while on a one-year, $6 million deal, and while being one of the best six-man in the NBA. And then you have previous judgments worth over $7 million from two companies that fronted him money, one in Maryland, one in New York, of which he's only paid a small portion back. And one was $5.8 million, and one was I'm trying to get all the numbers here. There's so many different numbers. And one was $2.25 million. So actually, it's more than $7.5 million. It's right around $8 million, somewhere in that range. So you still with me here? So the guy is being sued or entered into filings or whatever, almost $10 million. One of the best six men in the NBA on a playoff team where you think everything is on the rise. The Pistons, knowing full well that they were garnishing his paycheck, somehow were still going to offer him a three-year, $42 million deal last week. And now they said, eh. On top of that, the FBI is after him. Because allegedly, he was throwing games and influencing prop bets. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Literally, AMAC thought I was making it up.
No, some of the stories surrounding it, like owing money to his dentist, like
his dentist, his high rise apartment.
Yeah, gambling's a serious thing.
Oh, it's a very serious thing.
Yeah,
and when you get in a hole,
yeah,
you do. And especially if you don't operate with any common sense, which it's very clear Malik Beasley does not operate with any common sense. I mean, I'll hold back on my true thoughts, but he doesn't operate with any common sense. You get into a hole, and it gets deep enough, you will start making and compounding bad decision after bad decision,
yeah,
after bad decision after bad decision. And right now it looks, as best I can calculate, somewhere in the nines in terms of millions of what he owes. And on top of that, oh, by the way, the FBI is after him for basically fixing games and fixing prop bets. This was almost the sixth man of the year in the NBA this year. How crazy is that? You know what's crazy? The Knicks have finally hired a new head coach. It's July 2nd. I'm crazy. It's July 2nd, and the Knicks have finally hired a new head coach. We'll tell you who it is next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. There we have breaking news right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Much to Doc Walker's chagrin, I'm going to talk about New York sports. The New York Knicks are expected to hire Mike Brown as their next head coach. That's right. Sorry, Doc. I'll spend a couple of minutes on a New York team here. I heard you. I heard you taking some cheap shots at me and AMAC at the end of your show in for Coach Sheehan. I heard. I'm always listening, Doc. I love you. I'm always listening. By the way, AARP Tuesday turned into AARP Wednesday, and it's not going very well for the Nationals. Details on that in a moment. The Knicks are expected to hire two-time former NBA Coach of the Year Mike Brown as their new head coach, according to Shams Charania of ESPN. Brown is a four-time champion as a top assistant in Golden State and San Antonio under Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich. He's coached the Warriors, the Spurs, coached with the Warriors, the Spurs, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Sacramento Kings. He's obviously coached a lot of famous players, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, so on and so forth. He was fired by the Sacramento Kings in December after a 13-18 start, after they had made the playoffs for the first time in 16 years the previous year. So, of course, get off to a bad start, five games under 500, and a stupid-ass franchise fires Mike Brown. So, that leads to him being out, obviously, and being available for the Knicks, right? We all know that the Knicks have been trying to get permission to talk to Jason Kidd, to talk to the Minnesota coach, Finch, right? Is it Finch?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and a couple of other coaches, right? That they tried to get Ime Udoka in Houston. They were denied all sorts of permission, but they did actually interview. They did actually interview former Memphis Grizzlies coach Taylor Jenkins, New Orleans Pelicans associate coach James Borrego, who was a former head coach in Charlotte, and Minnesota Timberwolves assistant Mike Anori. They did actually interview those guys. You know who they didn't interview, AMAC?
Who's that?
Remember when Tom Thibodeau first got fired and we spent some time on it, actually more time than I thought we would? Mm-hmm. And I said, they've got all sorts of big-name head coaches out there that are available, like Frank Vogel, who won a championship recently, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Mike Budenholzer, who won an NBA championship a couple of years ago in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Michael Malone, who won an NBA championship 2 years ago in Denver. Jeff Van Gundy, their former head coach, who's now an assistant with the LA Clippers, who, of course, is a basketball junkie. Mark Jackson, Sam Cassell. They didn't interview any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even talk to them. Yet they talked to the group that they wanted to talk to. Again, Taylor Jenkins, James Borrego, Micah Norrie. And now they've hired Mike Brown. Unofficially, but it's going to happen. He's a former two-time coach of the year, including the year before with the Kings. 2023 had the highest offense or the best offense in the NBA, made the playoffs for the first time in 16 years. Right? Won coach of the year and got fired 31 games into the season by a dumbass organization. And now a sometimes dumbass organization is giving him a third chance to be a head coach. This is not at all, in my opinion, anything bad about Mike Brown can coach. Flat out, he can coach. I have no problem with that. The only problem that I have is, how, if you're the New York Knicks, do you do this coaching search trying to get Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, Finch, all these guys under contract, and yet you don't even bother to talk to all of these recent championship-winning head coaches, Budenholzer, Michael Malone, who's the other one that I just mentioned, Budenholzer, Michael Malone, Frank Vogel, all have won championships within the last 5 years and less. You don't talk to Jeff Van Gundy. You don't talk to Mark Jackson. You don't talk to Sam Cassell, who a lot of people have thought. You fire Thibodeau after going to the conference finals, and you talk to James freaking Borrego. And then you settle on Mike Brown. And maybe settling is the wrong word, because you're really not settling on Mike Brown. Mike Brown can coach.
Did they reach out to Taylor Jenkins?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they did interview him. Taylor Jenkins, James Borrego, Micah Norrie, who's an assistant with Minnesota. Those are the three other guys besides Mike Brown that they talked to. I mean, again, I'd like to call this a dumb hire. I've always liked Mike Brown. I don't know him personally, but I've always liked everything about him. He was unfairly treated in Sacramento with the Lakers, so on and so forth. Mike Brown can coach. So it's a good hire by the Knicks. It's a bad process by the Knicks. It seems like they were like, yeah, that media narrative, that stupid, dumb fan and media narrative of let's not hire recycled coaches except for the one that we like. Because they didn't even bother to meet with those guys unless they had clandestine meetings that they haven't leaked out. That we don't know. All right, 135, Team 980. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app. And hey, we've got some interesting news when we come back that we'll share. You can now get this show not only on the Odyssey app and also other platforms that we've been telling you about, but we're going to give you some exciting new ways that you can get this radio show and hear the lovely AMAC and the not-so-lovely me rant about sports every day from 1 to 4 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, so indeed the breaking news is, according to ESPN, Shaun Charania, the Knicks expected to hire two-time NBA Coach of the Year Mike Brown as their new head coach. Again, a four-time champion in the NBA, two-time previous head coach with Cleveland and the Sacramento with the Lakers, rather, and the Sacramento Kings. Also, former two-time Coach of the Year. And Mike Brown is coming to the New York Knicks as their new head coach. Meanwhile, from football and the NFL, an Ohio woman has sued Buffalo Bills first-round draft pick Maxwell Hairston, a player that a lot of Commanders fans were interested in out of Kentucky, accusing him of sexually assaulting her in 2021 when they were both students at the University of Kentucky, and they were living in the same dorm. Details on that coming up. The Nationals are underway on this Wednesday afternoon, and quite honestly, it is going about as bad as it possibly can. Trevor Williams gave up 6 runs in the top of the first inning to the Detroit Tigers, and the Nationals lead, trail, 6-0, 6-0 already in the top of the second, and Williams is wearing it with the doubleheader straight ahead today, because that's right, both teams have to play another game tonight. The normally scheduled game at 6:45 after last night's game was canceled earlier, and that is what's trending. Because LeBron's got that kind of stroke. I knew I would be hearing that again. LeBron James does have the kind of stroke that everybody wishes they had, right? Everybody wants to grovel and get down on their knees and go, come on, LeBron. Come on over here. Come on. Right cheek or the left cheek? Which one can we kiss? And now, supposedly, as we said yesterday during the 3 o'clock hour, Rich Paul, who runs the NBA, is like leaking to all of his media comrades, hey, LeBron's serious. LeBron's serious. He wants to win a championship. He doesn't know if he can win in the Lakers. He's watching. He's keeping a keen eye. And, AMAC, you sent me a piece of audio earlier, and I think you have it ready to go. Brian Windhorst from ESPN, who, of course, knows LeBron very, very, very well. And, I mean, listen, he's got to be in bed with Rich Paul, too. And all of a sudden, Windy is starting to change his tune. So I wanted to play this for you as we do an all-NBA first hour right here on the Team 980.
When the idea of a trade came up, I slammed the door on it and said, "First off, LeBron wants to be a Laker. If he didn't want to be a Laker, he opted out. He has a no-trade clause. Everything that Bontemps just said. Over the last 3 days, I have unlocked the door. I wouldn't say that I'm opening the door. I would just say I've unlocked the door. The door I slammed and locked on Sunday, I'm not 100% sure. And that is because my conversations over the last 3 days have crystallized that the Lakers are essentially viewing LeBron as an expiring contract. And that may sound like a toss-off statement, but that's not insignificant. LeBron has never been an expiring contract, quite literally. Never in his 23-year career, over the 9 contracts he's signed, over all the different teams he's been on, he's never been on the last year of his contract. He's never been 40 years old. He's never not been the franchise player on his team. The Lakers and LeBron, whoever wants to spin their side of the story, I'm not sure what happened, but the Lakers and LeBron did not have substantive discussions about extending his contract, which every team LeBron's been on for 20-something years has wanted to have substantive conversations about extending his contract. And what happens to expiring contracts in the NBA? They're viewed as trade pieces. So, for all those reasons, you know, the money, the fact that LeBron and Luka are still a very formidable duo, the fact that the Lakers are not done with their offseason, the fact that trading him is crazy, the fact that this is being built around Luka and they've got to maintain their cap sheet, and all of those things, everything that makes sense. But I'm just unlocking the door because I'm not as convinced as before of its impossibility.
All right, so that's Brian Windhorst this morning on ESPN. He's unlocking the door. The door, as of like Saturday, was locked. He's unlocking the door now. So kind of him. I wonder if he's turning off the alarm so that Rich Paul and LeBron James could walk right in their bathrobes, in their luxury bathrobes, and show the world who really is in charge. I wonder. It would be nice of Wendy if he unlocked the door and if he turned off the alarm so that LeBron and Rich Paul could walk in their luxury bathrobes and show.
I'm not going to lie. It sounds like you're hating on LeBron and Rich Paul.
I'm not hating. Not a player hater at all.
No one said anything about player.
You know what I am is I am somebody who does not like people that trample all over people that have less power and less control and less juice. I don't like that. Okay. So if that part is what's bothering you, then absolutely. I've always rooted for LeBron.
I'm not bothered at all.
But I'm just saying. I do not like the Scott Borises of the world, the Rich Pauls of the world, in case you can't tell, because they don't care about anything else, except how much money their client can make. Now, they're going to hide behind this, well, he wants to win a championship. No, duh. Everybody wants to win a championship. LeBron's made $1 billion.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, but who in this story is Rich Paul and LeBron trampling over?
Well, I believe it's the Los Angeles Lakers, who last year laid down in bed, for lack of a better term, and got after it with LeBron to get him to re-sign with them, which he did, and then he put a gun to their head and said, draft LeBronny, which they did, and they made history together, which they did, and they allowed, and they worked in concert with each other to trade, I believe, for Luka Doncic and to trade Anthony Davis, an often injured player, who LeBron, by the way, had won a championship with, to Dallas to bring in Luka. Surprise.
Wasn't LeBron pissed off about that trade?
No, he wasn't pissed off about that trade.
He said he knew nothing about it.
Hey, he said he knew nothing about it. You actually believe that?
Come on. I don't have any reason.
Come on.
This is my thing, Rooster. Is it a possibility that he orchestrated a trade? Sure.
I would also say he has a strong influence in everything the Lakers do.
I don't know.
If not control.
I don't think that if that was the case, I don't think this would be a story. I think LeBron's in this situation. Yes, there has been, and LeBron, to your point, has been in franchises which he's influenced his decision. Mm-hmm. But he's also talked about as the GOAT. So yeah. Any NBA team would be just dumb not to acquiesce to not even just one of the best players in the league, but one of the best players all time.
Yes, but here's the thing. Again, acquiesce, working with consulting, that's all different than LeBron basically, again, holding a gun to Jeannie Buss's head and saying, draft my son or I will not sign. Which is what he essentially did last summer at this time. He didn't sign back with the Lakers until after they drafted LeBronny.
Yeah, I don't know if that's...
He wouldn't have come back, I don't think, if they didn't make him whatever promises they made him and if they didn't draft LeBronny.
Yeah, I don't...
Okay?
Yeah, I don't... I guess my hesitation is, like, I don't see how him wanting his son to get drafted to the team he played for it equates to him walking over the franchise.
Listen, I have a desire to do a lot of things in my life, right? I have a desire. I want an interest. I don't get to do all of them because I have no leverage, no power, no stroke, no nothing. I am as lame as you can get. I have no juice. Okay?
I don't know.
LeBron has all the juice in the world. Now, maybe he doesn't have as much as he once did because teams are unsure of how much he wants to play, unsure of how much he's got left in the tank, and the Lakers might be there too. It's pretty clear that the Lakers are probably there as well. And you just heard Windhorst basically say they kind of look at him as an expiring contract, which for layman's terms, right, means that, and I guess the best way to describe it in the NBA is, and Windhorst kind of basically said it, a lot of teams are looking to acquire expiring contracts so that they can get the salary cap room so that they could clear the contract off their books. And maybe, that's what the Lakers are looking at. There was no extension talks. There was no, hey, let's do what everything LeBron wants to do. Supposedly, he had nothing to do with the Luka trade. Supposedly, by opting in, that does not guarantee that they will not trade him, that he will be happy, that he will be staying in Los Angeles. So maybe it's a little bit different than it used to be. But again, I still believe that LeBron James and Rich Paul hold incredible sway, incredible power, incredible control. And here, basically, they're saying, listen, if you don't do the things that we tell you to do or we want you to do or we think you should do, we're going to go elsewhere, right? And he opted in, but that doesn't mean he has to play with the Lakers.
I just think that's life, though. He can force a trade. Like, people have leverage and they push their leverage. That's not...
I mean, sure, there's leverage. Hey, Mac, you have a little bit of leverage. You have more leverage than I do. They like you here better than they like me.
That's because I don't talk to. I don't talk enough.
All right, well, they like you. They like you more than they like me. So you have the leverage to walk in the boss's office and sit down and say, this is what I want. This is how I'm going to do it. I want a three-day weekend every weekend, and you're just going to deal with it, and you're going to like it, and you're not going to say anything about it. And that and that's what you got. That was your leverage. Some people have leverage. Some people have leverage and use it. Some people don't use it well enough. LeBron James and Rich Paul know how to use it.
I'm trying to figure out where they're a bad person in that.
I didn't say they're bad people.
You said they walk and trudge over somebody. Well, they do. In these instances?
They do. In figurative terms in the NBA. You don't think they walked all over the Lakers last offseason?
I think that they were working with the Lakers and trying to make the team a better team.
Working with by drafting LeBron James, sure. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'm just having a little bit of fun, just a smidge of fun. But I truly believe people with all the leverage, all the power, and that they when they use it, that's part of the problem in society. That's part of the problem. I'm sure a lot of you look at it as part of the great part of society. I don't. I think people should have the leverage, gain the leverage, earn the leverage, but then not use it to, again, trample all over people. And too many people with power trample all over people. And I'm not just talking about LeBron James and Rich Paul. I'm talking about a lot of people on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're wrapping up hour number one. We'll get to your calls after 2 o'clock on the Team 980. I got some commander stuff that I want to get to as well. We'll keep you up to date for whatever it's worth on the Nationals, but it's not worth a whole lot right now as they are getting absolutely bombarded by the Detroit Tigers in game one of what is sure to be a long day at the ballpark as a doubleheader. Here's something that I wanted to share with you, right? So you may have heard, we always say always live and free on the Odyssey app, listen on the Odyssey app, live on demand, all that stuff. And absolutely, that is true. We want you to keep listening, all of that good stuff, right? Team 980 on the Odyssey app. You can listen live. You can listen on demand. You can listen to every show, every segment, every hour, every day, all of that. However, what we also want you to do is, in addition to listening and streaming live on the Odyssey app, you can also now stream live on iHeartRadio and tune in. How about them apples? That's right. You can now listen to this show, not only on the Odyssey app, but on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. You can, of course, always listen to the podcast of the show on Apple Pods, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, in addition to the Odyssey app. But now you can stream live this fandangled debacle of a radio show on the iHeartRadio app. And on iHeartRadio. And tune in as well. So congratulations to us. Now you can listen even more ways.
It's like we can spread our propaganda further now.
Exactly. Like LeBron James and Rich Paul are just running the NBA.
Or the New York fan base is just an amazing fan base. Me as a New York Giants fan and then you as an undercover New York Giants fan.
Undercover. Look at you. So cute. So cute. So petulant. You look dazzling in your white button-down shirt and, you know, you try and, like, dress up for once today and look like a professional.
I feel nice today.
All right.
So I decided to dress up a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Good for you. 158, Team 980. Your call's coming up next. Stay tuned with us on the Team 980, the Odyssey app. iHeartRadio and tune in, baby. Yeah, let's go.